please, for our first reading to Psalm 142 and 143. Psalm 142, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. A maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my supplications, in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So then, we continue on in these early 140s with difficulty, affliction, deprivation. It is interesting to note that very soon in the Psalter, within the next couple of Psalms, that the tenor of the Psalms are going to change entirely, and we will begin the crescendo that ends at Psalm 150. And so the last, I believe it's five Psalms, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The last five psalms begin with hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Before that, however, in the next psalm, 144, we have blessed, and then Psalm 145, I will extol. So we are indeed making a transition between these psalms in the early 140s that are psalms of deliverance, and then to psalms of expectation and praise, and then finally to those psalms of a great chorus of praise as we bring the Psalter to its crescendo in the end of it. And again, this speaks to an organizing mind as the Psalter was brought together and edited in the days of Ezra under divine inspiration. Okay, so with that then, let's go ahead and dive into Psalm 142, a maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Maskil, a psalm of wisdom, something to be remembered or taught or used as maybe catechetically, if you will. Maskil. He's in the cave. What cave is that? Probably the cave of Adullam. And we might say that this is perhaps one of the lowest points, well, certainly the lowest point in David's life, at least up to this point in his life. We might say that it was worse when he was forced into the arms of the unbelievers, of the heathen, although I believe he does reference that in Psalm 142. Certainly when he's fleeing from Absalom, that is a very low point in his life. But here he is hiding in the cave. He is fleeing for his life. He's separated from the public worship and from all other favor. He is pursued by the army of Israel, who are his brethren, and he was left to the heathen for their cold comfort. So this is a very difficult time. And remember who came to David. All those that were dissatisfied. All of the ones who were disenfranchised. Those who for one reason or another could find really no other place to go. And so they were drawn to David in his being an outcast like themselves. But notice also in that day that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You remember a little bit later in David's life, there's the scenario with Ziklag and all of his wives and children, and all of the men's wives and children are taken from him, and everybody's they have an eye to mutiny. And David, it says, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. They inquired at Urim and Thummim, should we go and pursue after them? And the Lord said yes, and they recalled everyone. They brought everyone back without any casualties. And so this is another one of those times when David, although surrounded with distress, he strengthens himself in God. Notice, attend unto my... Well, first of all, he says, I cried unto thee, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. That's a really interesting way to say that. I think that David really, what he's communicating is that his hope is not a hope in heaven eternally, at some future establishment. But he says, thou art my hope and my refuge in the land of the living, my portion, in the land of the living, he says, in this life, not in the next only, but in this life as well. And so it is important for us to recognize that David's hope was not simply relegated to an eternal, as we say, somewhat pejoratively, pie in the sky. It was indeed in the land of the living that the Lord was his hope and his portion. And I want you to remember that the Lord is his portion, because we're going to speak much of that this afternoon in our sermon. So then, attend unto my cry, for I am brought low. My enemies are stronger than me, right? They are more than I can take. So he takes his confidence in God. He understands his own humility and weakness. All other comforts had failed him. And so David commits himself to seeking refuge in the Lord alone. He prays before the Lord to deliver him. And the psalm ends then with his confidence in the Lord's deliverance, although his persecutors are stronger than he. In a nutshell, that is Psalm 142. Psalm 143 is also a psalm of David, and again, it is in times of distress and difficulty. So both 142 and 3 speak of the difficulties under which David suffers. Notice verse 3, the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. And then the personal results of that, not just external, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. So this is a very difficult time that David is suffering under at this time. Okay? So he desires to have a hearing with the Lord, and he notes the promises of God. He approaches the Lord with humility, with a confession of his sins and his need to be justified before God. He pours out his request to be delivered from his enemy. He confesses that God is his only help and refuge, and he makes use of past mercies to reason to present and future deliverances. This is often the case with David. He calls to mind those saving acts of God in the past and uses that to bolster his confidence for the future. In the second portion, verses 7 through the end of the psalm, his prayer is urgent for instruction, comfort, deliverance, guidance, mercy, and he pleads the righteousness and mercy of the Lord as his defense, not his own worthiness. David has identified himself in this passage as the servant of the Lord. Remember the end? Destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Now, I don't know about you. You know, sometimes when I read passages like this, connections are made in my mind to the rest of the scriptures. But think with me on Joshua chapters 9 and 10 for a moment. What's happening in Joshua 9 and 10? Well, there's been a great victory. The first part of the conquest is done. There's a second part yet remaining. And the men of Gibeon see the success that the Israelites have had, and they say, we don't want to stand against these guys. And so let's pretend. Let's pretend like we're from a long, long way away. Let's put old moldy bread in our bags. Let's dust our clothes up real good. Let's get our old and worn out moccasins. Let's make sure that the bread is crusty and moldy. Let's make sure that our wine bottles are burst. Let's make it look like we have traveled many, many moons to get here. And let's make a deal with the Israelites so that we will become their servants. Their servants and not their prey. So they do. And Joshua makes that covenant, and the elders of Israel, they all make that covenant with them. Turns out that they had made a bad covenant, that they were duped into making it, but they had sworn. And if you remember when we read through that passage, we said that while Joshua was very good normally at calling for the priest to bring Urim and Thummim to find out what they should do, he did not do so in that case. And so that was instructive for the children of Israel that they did not seek guidance from the Lord, that they entered into a bad covenant. Now, in chapter 10, the rest of the kings that have not yet been conquered by Joshua, the Canaanite kings, they gather themselves up, and the first thing that they do is they attack the men of Gibeon. What do the men of Gibeon do? They cry out to the Israelites, we're your servants, protect us. Remember that? What does David say at the end of Psalm 143? I am thy servant. He is called out to the Lord for deliverance because he is the Lord's servant. Because he is one who belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's care of him that he is pursuing here as the servant of the Lord. The Lord takes up for those who serve him. The Lord does take a propriety over us as our master and our father. He doesn't leave us as servants, but draws us into adoption as sons and daughters. And so how much more will he be inclined to rise up in protection of those who call upon him in spirit and truth? And so that's what David does here. He says, I am thy servant. Rise up, Lord, and deliver me from your enemies and mine. And so that's what we can expect as well as the servants of the Most High God, that we might call upon his name. Then also note this phrase, teach me to do thy will. This prayer is for a heart that obeys the spirit and the letter of the Lord's commands. Often we have those who manifest a willingness for the letter of the command and a liberty for the spirit of the commands, but this ought not to be. The heart of the king here is a good example to us as he desires that his will would be conformed to the will of the Lord. And so he prays that the Lord would teach him. All right, thus ends the reading then of Psalms 142 and 3. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.